The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies from the 80s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie that spawned the hugely successful careers of Arsenio Hall, Louis Anderson, Cuba Gooding Jr., and Barbershop, the movie.
The movie that takes oppressive totalitarian regimes and boils them down to their essence. A pretty girl who will clean your balls.
And the movie where Eddie Murphy gets in heavy prosthetics, plays multiple characters, and it's freaking hilarious. And if any of you motherfuckers think we're talking about the Nutty Professors, you can go right to hell.
This is Coming to America on Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Say, can you see I'm coming to America?
Hey, blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia. The movie podcast is counting down the top grossing movies of the 1980s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landi.
And I'm Erica Lira.
Yeah, joining us again, Erica. Thank you so much for coming back. Yeah. You pushed really hard to be on this podcast.
I did. There's three movies that I've campaigned very hard to be on, and one of them is Trading Places, which you guys said yes to and then ignored me.
Yeah, totally.
Which I am not, so bitter about. The next one was Star Trek IV.
We totally ignored you on that one.
And I campaigned hard for that one.
Star Trek IV.
It's the best.
It was just, I don't think of you when I think of Star Trek IV.
I literally told you 800 times that is one of my top 10 favorite movies. It is the best Star Trek movie ever made and that will ever be made.
And then this one was the last one. We did get you on Big.
You did get me on Big. So that was good. Like I said, anything that involves like a Freaky Friday situation, time travel, or like this, the fish out of water, you know, someone pretending to be what they're not. I want to be that.
You're on board for that.
I am on board. And this has everything that I love except time travel. So
I hope that we've made it up.
As far as I'm concerned, podcasts are just like baseball or shooting a guy. As long as you do it right one out of every three times, you're okay.
You're good. You're good to go.
So
we're talking about Coming to America back in 1988.
88.
This movie made $128,152,000.
Yeah. This is not Eddie's top performance of the 80s.
No, but God
until damn. You adjust for inflation, then it's $1.2 trillion.
Yeah.
Dollars.
That's true.
It is the worth of the entire world.
Mm-hmm. It is at least the worth of the fictional country of
Zamunda.
That's right.
I was going to say Wakanda, but that's just
it's definitely the same thing.
No, it's definitely not Wakanda.
No,
this is like that other country that showed up to fight Wakanda.
Yeah, you're right. I feel like Zamunda is a very evil country.
I think it is. I think it might be.
You would not think that because everybody's so funny in this country.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like a lot of people are suffering.
Oh yeah,
for fucking Prince Akeem to be able to go to Queens with $1 million and just do whatever the fuck he wants.
Yeah,
yeah. There's no, and also Arsenio Hall to pick up his scraps and stuff, and
yeah.
James Earl Jones to wear.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Full lion fucking.
He wears drapes. Himself.
Yeah.
He wears Mufasa.
Mm-hmm. He is Mufasa.
Mufasa version of himself. Exactly.
Yeah.
And his wife is. I just.
It's Lady Mufasa.
Sarabi.
Yeah. Wow, you pulled that?
Wow.
It took my brain a while.
All right.
But good job, Sarabi.
I'm like literally the one person in the world who remembers Simba's mom's name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even remember Simba had a mom.
That's true. Does she even show up at the end of that?
She's alive, right?
She's the one that's alive, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's right, because at the end, Simba then takes control of the pride and mm-hmm. ends up having sex with his cousin and his mother and all of the other females.
Cousin? That's more like his sister.
Well, remember,
in a lion pride, you just have the one male inseminating all the females.
No, exactly. I get it.
Also, though, like, it's funny that, it's not funny, but it's like, she should have taken over the pride. No, she doesn't
take That's not how that works.
That's not how that shit works. Yeah. No. Not with lions.
It's like the French Salic law, which it kind of applies here, since, you know, the French.
The French had a a lion law?
Well, we have.
I think they had a lot of African laws. I think is what she's getting to.
They had a law where women could not inherit the throne.
Oh yeah, that's true. Which is shitty.
It's extremely shitty.
So this movie is directed by John Landis.
That's right. Second movie directed by John Landis.
Training Places. We talked about him.
Right. Then. Second movie on the list. To be specific, because he has also directed many movies.
Hey, Eddie Murphy was in Training Places.
That's right.
There's a couple of other cool connections to Training Places.
Yeah, this is.
Are you just going to keep bringing up Training Places like salt and lemon on a paper cut? Yes, we are. Okay.
Because John Landis kept bringing up fucking Training Places.
Oh God, did he ever?
Yeah. This movie starts off with Eddie Murphy turning 21 years old.
That's right.
32-year-old Eddie Murphy turning 21 years old. He was actually more like 27, 28. Yeah. But still, and he is the prince.
One clearly grown man.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy.
He is the prince of the country called, again, I forget now.
Zamunda.
He's a prince of Zamunda. James Earl Jones, who is also Darth Vader and Mufasa, like we were talking about.
He plays a lot of father figures.
He does a lot of voice work father figures. Is his dad.
That's right.
And dictators.
Also, his second appearance on the countdown because he was in Field of Dreams.
Oh, that's right. He was.
Yeah.
He was like a baseball dude.
I never saw that movie.
He was a baseball dude.
He was one baseball dude in Field of Dreams.
He was a writer.
You should not watch Field of Dreams, but you should listen to the podcast for Field of Dreams. Because
it's a really good podcast.
It's really good. It's a good episode.
If I do say so myself. I'm in no way biased.
No, not at all. We get this like kind of like little montage of Eddie Murphy being pampered and being a prince. And a couple of things that happen in that is that there's rose petals that he has to walk on.
A prince should always walk on rose petals.
Yeah, always. He gets his...
I'm just a commoner, so I have to walk on carnation petals, which is bullshit, honestly.
Let me walk us through this day.
Yeah,
because I'll remember it in really actual chronological order.
Okay. Because you got to get to the bath scene.
When I think about it, all I go to is tits.
Yeah. Anyway, so it's morning, and Oha, who I believe must be some sort of seneschal or Lord Chamberlain. Oha is awesome. Yeah. But anyway, he's a total stooge of this regime, but I mean, still. So he summons the musicians.
He's making that money.
Who play a lovely, soothing...
That's a way to wake up. Yeah.
And the curtains are drawn so that natural light can awaken Prince Akeem.
That's right. It really is.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the royal slippers are presented so that he never has to touch lowly floors.
That's right.
And, of course, the rose bearers immediately from the moment he wakes up are there ready to toss petals everywhere. And, of course, he's congratulated because it's his royal birthday. Mm-hmm. And then he's taken to the bathroom that he would like to use alone. After all, there is a bidet there, yet they still insist on using wipers.
So even though there is a toilet that will flush water up your ass,
mm-hmm.
they still have a person or persons.
Well, because then what are you going to do about the water?
What's that?
What do you do about the water then?
What do you mean? It's a bidet.
Bidets is like a toilet that just...
Look, I know you're into creepy Japanese porn, so it's like a manual Japanese robot toilet.
Then you got a bunch of water on your ass.
Your ass is wet.
Exactly. I'm not going to use the towel myself.
You need a commoner to dry your ass.
Exactly.
We'll circle back to that point and why it's not a commoner. But anyway, so after a nice, satisfying, you know...
I'm sorry to interrupt your very good explanation, but all throughout the movie, and we're already getting into it, I super appreciate how much actual real world, like, concern and knowledge over colonial Africa you're bringing to this, and how, like, angry you are about, the oppression that these people that are completely fictional in a fictional country must be suffering under. It amuses me to know.
It's because as much as I love this movie, and I genuinely love this movie.
You push really hard for this movie.
At the same time, like, there's, like, this voice in the back of my head that's like, you know, blood diamonds, AIDS epidemic, and, you know, French imperialism that clearly defined this royal regime.
It's like 1988. There was, like, legitimate social issues going on.
Yeah, yeah. There were like serious things that needed addressing, famines and things.
But
the most important thing.
Get back to the dick washing.
Well, I mean, it is.
Well, I mean, you're just spoiling it all. So, okay. So once he has befouled his lower half, he's taken to bathe.
Befouled his lower half. I'm gonna use that now for going to the bathroom.
As well you should.
Hashtag befouled his lower half.
Excuse me, I must befoul my lower half.
I expect that to be trending on Twitter.
Hashtag,
yes. Great way of saying you're going to the bathroom. It's fucking great.
I mean, it's how I've always said it. I mean, that's not what you call it.
Befouling is not a word that I use often, but that's the best use of that word that I've ever heard.
Thank you. Private, that's private school for you. Charter schools will never teach you that. But anyway, so he's taken into this gigantic tub along with his royal bathers, whom he does not have sex with,
which
apparently.
Which is boobs?
So they're naked. They're kind of like in this weird, like Egyptian queen Cleopatra.
That's
drag.
Right.
Beautiful breasts. I do have to
really
say.
Really nice breasts. Yeah.
Quality. Yeah, yeah. And of
John
course,
Landis.
they're extremely dedicated. So he's sitting there and it's very peaceful. And this is the part that really confused me the first time I saw the uncut version.
Yeah.
Because for years I had.
You mean the television version?
No, the uncut. Because for years I had only ever seen the television version for years. Okay. Like up until like.
So all you remember is Eddie Murphy sitting in a big pool and
yeah,
going.
Yeah, he's just like serene. Yeah, he's just like. He's just like so happy to be in a nice hot tub like I would be. Except. Yeah. When you see the uncut, the actual theatrical release, then one of these beautiful Cleopatras just arises from the water with a sponge. And her bearing is so regal and elegant. And then there we go.
Boobs out.
The royal penis is clean.
That's a line that I, as a kid, when I first saw the uncut version, and I saw that as a kid because my parents were Mexican. I had no idea what rating systems were. When I saw as a kid, that's the line that I attached to. And I still remember like a lot of my weird fantasizing about it.
It's come specifically from that line.
Yeah, from just like the royal penis cleaning me, thinking like a chick just cleaning my penis, topless. Well, actually, not even topless, naked. Naked.
Yeah, straight naked. Yeah.
When she comes out, she's naked.
And bejeweled.
We assume naked.
Except for like the headdress. Well, the other girls were naked.
They were, you know. They were movie naked, so they probably had like that weird murder.
Right,
thing.
Yeah, because you never see Bush.
But. Yeah,
but
exactly.
for all intents and purposes,
they're naked.
Beautiful, but naked.
It is. It's a very funny, ridiculous way of showing class.
I don't know about class. I mean, if you think about it, it's kind of a disgusting thing to force someone to do to you.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of jokes on that.
The sexual politics of it are fraught. Let's put it that way.
Somebody wipes your ass. Somebody cleans your dick. Every now and then you have sex with your dick cleaner.
If you're King Joffrey, which what a tell
sure.
you.
Yeah. Like, it's a weird...
Do you think that's where Martin got the name?
I am like 100% sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
King
yeah.
Joffrey? Yeah.
Because why wouldn't you?
Why wouldn't
because
you?
Because as
George R. R. Martin, noted huge fan of Coming to America.
Yeah. He is an Eddie Murphy stan, just full
stop.
Yeah,
of course. Like, I mean, who wasn't back in the 80s?
Well, because like it's so cute because like he still uses like LiveJournal, right? And like he's always posting about baseball and Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Look it up. You'll find it.
What else is there to talk about?
I mean, because geeks love statistics. So, like, sports, of course.
And Eddie Murphy statistics?
And Eddie Murphy. Yeah.
He was, like, an MVP for 10 years.
Yeah. Like he'll show up. Like, sometimes he'll post, you know, like, he posts, like, sometimes, like, an excerpt from that book he's never going to finish. And then, hey. And then they'll be like,
I have no follow-up to that. You're probably right. It just hurts my feelings.
Well, in the last Aria chapter he posted, there's like three distinct Eddie Murphy references. So if you read through it, nerds, you'll find them. And they're really obvious once you know to look for them. But
it is pretty obvious when Aria dresses up in a fat suit and starts farting and making jokes about it, the farts.
Yeah, yeah. And when she's like somehow starts hitting on herself in that fat suit, you know, and that's
she's playing multiple roles somehow.
Yeah, it's clumping
because she's
it up
unfaceless.
Clumping it up.
That's where it came from. Yeah, it came from this movie.
That makes sense.
And I know that because you know he's my godfather, George R. R. Martin, not Eddie Murphy.
Zamunda,
I mean, why not both?
The name of the country is based on a Richard Pryor skit.
Yeah.
Well, this whole thing, I mentioned this while we were watching it, but this whole thing seems like a reverse of an Eddie Murphy stand-up bit where he talks, like, about going to Africa to find a wife.
Yeah, because she would be super submissive.
Yeah, exactly. And this,
and
the whole,
the opposite of that.
Exactly, is that he's get, so he gets presented, shortly after this, he gets presented with his wife, yeah, his bride-to-be.
And she just does whatever he says.
That's right.
So he's like, I'm here to make you happy. And he's like, what if I want you to bark like a dog? And she barks like a dog. What if
I want you to hop on one leg.
Super submissive, no personality, and he is not having it.
And every man in America, except for me, because I'm woke like that, is like, that is the perfect bride. And
are they really?
Because
that
Murphy,
seems...
Also, well, no, we...
I don't believe that for a second, and here's why. Because if a dude ever asks you as a lady, where do you want to eat? And if you don't know, if you're like, I don't know, whatever you want, oh, they get so mad.
It is a very angering thing, because don't say... Also, don't say you don't care. I'm gonna put this out there.
Care. That's the
because
problem.
You legitimately care.
Exactly. So that's the problem.
The problem is, don't say I don't care where we eat.
Listen to this, ladies. You hear like how instant, like hot they got.
It
like
is an immediate real thing. It really is because it's not
They're
true.
They're so mad. They're so mad.
It is not true that you don't say.
Like hands are
care.
Waving. No, hands just, are waving.
It's because it's a trap. That's why.
Yeah, that's why. I don't care where we're going to eat, because then I'm going to be like, all right, well, can we get McDonald's? No.
Well, no one wants to eat McDonald's over 10. So like, whatever.
Can we eat all you can eat shitty Chinese buffet?
Yes.
No.
Okay. That's why I never say I don't care. I say I don't know. I don't know.
That's fair.
And as a second point to that, I also do know, because I always want to eat at a shitty Chinese buffet.
Well, say that.
But I'm too embarrassed to say that, and
that's
I can't.
The point. And also,
last relationship, that's all we ever ate. So
exactly. So you don't even. I don't know. Goes enough of a way until it's been 35 minutes and we don't know where the fuck we're gonna eat.
Okay, that I never
point,
do.
I'm just gonna pull over. We're gonna fucking eat somewhere.
No. It's always like I don't know. Just on the off chance. Well, it's not always. It's always I don't know. I don't know. Like I know I'm hungry.
Yeah.
But I don't know what I want. And then if you say something, then like I can be like, okay, definitely not that. Maybe this.
When I say that I don't care where we're gonna eat. Like, I legitimately mean I don't care what we're going to eat.
Okay.
We can't eat McDonald's.
Well, I've never said I don't care, because I do care very much, because I don't want to. So, but I have said I don't know, because I don't know.
There's a point to this conversation that I don't remember anymore.
I don't remember either. Which is much like
the point is the royal penis is clean.
Okay, yes, then, that is a point.
No, we were talking about his wife, his very submissive wife.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
But again, the thing about her is that she really believes that. Like,
yeah.
She is totally, she's been trained from birth to be...
To do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And then he's
yeah.
like, I'm not having this. I got to get out of here. He talks to Arsenio Hall, who is his like his assistant kind of dude.
Like, yeah, he's like his... His like number two,
his best friend. Yeah. Also, they have a fight sequence.
Yeah, when you're a
that's
prince,
super awesomely choreographed.
Yeah.
That's a good.
And it
choreographed
was definitely Eddie Murphy.
It was definitely Eddie Murphy doing
all those
doing
flips.
Definitely Arsenio Hall. Yes,
they were fighting with staffs.
But yeah, when you're a prince, you get assigned a best friend. And he has no choice in it. So.
No, he has absolutely no choice in it.
You joke about that, but you kind of do.
No, it is legit.
Yeah, I'm not joking.
Thing.
Yeah. In this case, Eddie Murphy assigned himself another stand-up comedian who he liked.
Yeah.
So.
Also, Arsenio Hall gets like put through the grinder in this movie.
I mean, if put through the grinder, you mean lived like a normal human being for exactly 1 month.
Yes,
after-
that is put through the grinder after yeah. living your life a fucking fancy
That's
ass
right.
picking up. All the Eddie Murphy scraps.
He basically went from Versailles to Queens.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
So
that's exactly what happens, though.
I mean, Arsenio Hall has to go like a month without sex.
He's
a
like,
month, people.
Where do we go? And he's like, America. And then they're like,
there's
America.
Millions of choices. It's
right,
a huge
this
country.
This is your joke.
Yeah.
I don't want to rob you of your joke, Erica, because you love this joke.
I do love this joke because it's so corny.
Tell
and yet
the audience
it's so
what
true.
This joke is.
So they look at this globe. America is so vast, so many places to go. Where should we go? New York or LA?
It is a very funny joke. It is a very condescending to America,
yeah.
to the rest of America joke, for them to be like, America's huge and it has everything. So should we go to LA or New York?
Yep.
Because there is nowhere else that's worth visiting in America. That's pretty much what it's saying.
And yet it's also so true because I've had people who are like, you know, oh, I'm from France or wherever, like, you know, come into the restaurant. And I'm like, why would you come here?
Why are you in Tucson? Fuck like, that shit.
Tucson's, I mean, I love Tucson, but I don't want you people so, here because...
Oh, now look who's...
Well, well, well. Whoa. Who's at the totalitarian now?
Damn right. Because I don't want hipster nonsense, gentrifiers, rents going up.
How is hipster nonsense somebody from another country visiting the old west?
No, just tourists, not like specifically another country.
We're 2 months away from fucking scooters being everywhere.
Oh, exactly. Like I was just up in Phoenix. And
they call it, it's a fancy litter.
You couldn't you couldn't even cross the... street and there's like a scooter. Fucking that's scooter I, there.
Just
like,
came back from Nashville. Scooters fucking everywhere.
Ugh, wait, I hate the, yeah, I do not. What are you want talking about? Here.
So exactly. There's a Bird is this company. About? I'll put you through it really quick. But it's scooters that they just fucking put up, and you can just scan them with your cell phone, rent them for it's like $1 an hour. Well,
like Vespas?
Yeah, like
not cool scooters, dumb scooters.
They're just like regular motorized little scooters,
like kind
it's just
remember
handlebars
those razor scooters
and the two wheels on the bottom. Yeah. And you can rent them, and you can leave them wherever you want,
Anywhere,
wherever you want,
anywhere. Just
so
anywhere,
people just ride them and then they leave them. So it's just like fancy litter everywhere.
Yeah. And then their big hook is like earn money, you know, charging our scooters. Like if your life is like that desperate.
It's a kind of a big thing right now in like a lot of big countries. Cities. But anyway.
Do they go very fast?
No.
They go faster than walking, for sure. They're motorized. You don't have to walk anywhere.
Well, running goes faster than walking, too.
Yeah, but people don't want to. The hipsters don't want to run.
No. They just want
to
leave a fucking scooter
I will
everywhere.
Admit, every time I try and run to anywhere at any point, even
you're
if
like, I wish I had a scooter?
No. Even if I'm running like to an obvious like I'm trying to get to a thing very quickly or the light's about to change, I always feel like there's people judging me, being like, look at this motherfucker running a place, like he's got a place to be.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck this guy thinking he's important and has places to go. Walk like a normal human being, you fucking piece of shit.
Or drive a car like a fucking successful person.
I know, right?
I have never had those thoughts watching someone run. It's usually either funny run.
That's just me when I see somebody run, I guess.
Yeah, maybe it's just when you run.
Yeah, it could be. It could be.
I need to see you run and then see what kind of judgments
come
to my brain.
It's bad. Yeah. It's all bad.
Like dude, there'll be another light.
We're very drunk for this podcast, I gotta say.
I don't know what you're talking about, and I refuse to acknowledge it.
All right, so anyway, so they spin the globe, and then they find they're like he flips a coin, and he's like New York.
Mm-hmm. What part
but
of New York?
Where do we find somebody fit for a prince in New York? Queens, which in 1988 was a huge fucking joke
because it's a shitty piece of shit.
Yeah, now we're like, I feel like Queens is very expensive to live in. It's a super hipster place. And I wouldn't move there because it's $1,400
for a closet.
Dollars for a closet, exactly, a month. But anyway, back then,
it was a shitty
place. So they're like, let's go.
And immediately when they get there, I mean, there's a ton of good jokes in this movie. It's a very funny, good movie.
There's a lot of really good fish out of water jokes, which is what you love.
Exactly.
Fish out of water jokes where he's just like, I'm a rich guy with a shitload of luggage and stuff.
But the thing with Queens, that immediately when they arrive in Queens, someone throws their garbage on the street. And Eddie Murphy's like, oh, look at this place. It's amazing. You can just throw glass on the street.
Yeah. America's so free. You can throw glass.
But you know, do you know how telling a joke that is?
It's because
place Zamunda
is? Yeah, Zamunda, they would be shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also,
that place is clean.
I feel like Zamunda's not clean.
No, I think it is because if you throw glass on the street, you will be shot.
Maybe it's kind of like Singapore, where they don't shoot you; they'll just
cane you. But that
I think it's more of a telling thing about him not knowing what it is to be free. Because I feel like Zamunda, there's a lot of people throwing a lot of glass on the street.
I don't think
he's never seen it before in his whole
they clean
fucking
it out.
Life.
That might be true.
Does
I don't
Zamunda
think,
have streets?
And I
Zamunda
I think,
doesn't even have streets.
I think one Zamunda has goat trails. not streets. Yeah. And two, Zamunda does not have glass.
No.
So you don't see.
They are not keen to the 20th century ideal of glass.
That's definitely not. They have pottery.
No. Okay, look. It's because you never see anything of the country except this really tacky ass Golden Girls living room looking.
That is true. We don't see anything else.
It's other than the richest
motherfuckers
set.
In that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, they show up and then we get the funniest part that I thought. The funniest parts of this movie are Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall.
The barbershop.
And it was Cuba Gooding Jr.
Well, yes. Not getting his hair cut.
Yeah, sitting there and not getting his hair cut.
And another stand-up comedian that Eddie Murphy obviously liked a lot.
They're doing is talking about, like, boxing.
That's right.
And
Cassius Clay.
Crazy, like, fucking barbershop talk.
Yeah.
It is.
This is the movie that taught me.
Legitimately so fucking funny.
It's very funny. Yes. This is the movie that legitimately taught me that Cassius, like Muhammad Ali's real name was Cassius Clay. Did not know that before this movie.
Yeah, it's true.
And
also the Rocky Marciano thing.
Yeah.
God, and the great thing about that is that those jokes do not age.
No, they're really not fucking dated.
Because, you know, yeah, that's still who. Rocky Marciano. Like, that's all.
Yeah, that's still why. That's one of the things why it's
still conversations that are being had. Yeah.
It's still really funny. And again, like we said in the opening, Spawn's barbershop. The whole premise of the whole barbershop
is, hey, what about that scene in Coming to America? Like, or what about those three scenes in Coming to America?
What if current comedians dressed like old dudes and talked about old dude shit at a barbershop? All that shit came from this fucking movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they deserve, I mean, they need to send Eddie Murphy and John Landis and the rest of people some...
Eddie Murphy doesn't need the money.
John Landis might, though.
I'll take the money.
John Landis hasn't directed a lot of stuff.
Not in a while, yeah.
But so then Eddie Murphy is like, I want to slum it up. We're going to find a room in this shitty place.
And there's another great joke there where some guy like is falling down the stairs... And the landlord yells at him. It's like, don't try this shit. Every fucking month you try this shit.
Yeah. You got to pay me my rent. Yeah. Don't pretend like you're falling down the stairs. You better be conscious. Yeah. And then they go up and they ask for like the shittiest room.
Yeah.
And then he pulls like police tape off of the wall. And then he's like, there's an old blind man here.
Yeah.
Classic Naked Gun style joke.
Yep, with the outline. With the dog, outline, yeah, the man, exactly. The dog, and the cane.
And the cane.
That's
right. The cane is the joke.
I mean, the dog is the joke. The cane is like the cherry on top.
Exactly. The joke is like what they did to that dog.
The
cane is
the stinger.
Yeah. The fact that they outlined the cane.
The dog. Yeah, and the cane.
Is really funny.
Very good.
But he's like, I can't believe what they did to that dog or something. He makes a joke about
that. No, it's a shame what they did to that dog.
It's a shame what they did to that dog, which is a joke. But again, the fact that there's a cane outline, ridiculous. Why would they do that?
Just to revisit a few seconds ago, all of the jokes in this movie, pretty timeless.
Oh, yeah. All of them really
This movie really aged well because there's not a lot of timely stuff. Like everything sort of universal.
Yeah. It's not like watching an old episode of Murphy Brown and you don't know like half.
Right, because it's all politics jokes and stuff. Yeah.
They're like, oh, that's right. Like Ross Perot's a thing. And Michael Dukakis.
Right, that's a guy whose name I have definitely heard before.
We had a Greek presidential contender. Remember when we had a presidential contender that was Greek?
Was that his thing?
Yeah, Michael Dukakis.
I didn't even connect him with being Greek until you said that right now.
He was the son of Greek immigrants.
Oh wow! All
right. Cool.
He also did not win by a long shot. Ronald Reagan crushed him.
Do you know, the only thing I remember about Dukakis is a Mad Magazine issue that had him like in a tank. And he was like this little dude in a gigantic tank with an oversized helmet looking like a dork.
Super fucking dated.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because nobody cares or knows who Michael Dukakis is.
It was current.
Including people that are on this podcast right now, namely me.
Yeah.
That's not true. He's wearing a Dukakis shirt.
It's true. My secret shame.
Mm-hmm. I would fucking kill for a Dukakis shirt. I gotta tell you, a Dukakis 88 like shirt.
Vote Dukakis.
Yeah.
At this point, I would kill for a Dukakis presidency.
Oh, yeah. All
right, singer.
I'd take, yes, very much so.
And on that note, you know who else we would kill for?
Our sponsors?
That's right, our sponsors. Right. We'd kill for our sponsors because we have no sense of right or wrong.
We're 10% into this movie, but 50% into this podcast. That's right.
Don't you know that you're a grown up? Hey there, Blockbuster Nostalgia Movie Podcast listener. I want to take just a second to tell you about something you didn't know you were missing. I'm John, and along with Mo.
Hey, everybody.
And George.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We are Gen X Grown Up. Gen X Grown Up is a website, YouTube channel, and audio podcast by and for Generation Xers, kids of the late 70s and early 80s who may have grown older but have refused to grow up. Every week on our podcast, we cover media, games, tech, toys, comics, games, and pop culture of yesterday and today through the eyes of guys who grew up loving that stuff. And every other week, we do a backtrack where we pick a single nostalgic topic from our youth and dig in deep. You can find us anywhere you listen to your podcasts or find us right on our website at genxgrownup.com. If you're a Generation Xer or know someone who is, I hope you'll check out Gen X Grown Up. Your dinner cannot just be French fries. Basically, life
sucks as a grown up. So, right. Sponsor number one, People's Choice Video, providing the movie as they do.
You can rent this movie. You can rent all the Eddie Murphy movies, including even Vampire the bad in Brooklyn. Ones.
Yeah.
Even the Clumps.
Even Nutty Professor.
And all that crap.
Oh, Norbit's the worst. But anyway. Yeah. You can rent all those at People's Choice Video, new, old, classics, video games.
Buy, rent, sell, trade in, all that crap.
Yeah, everything.
People's Choice Video. Check it out.
Also, Beer Geek Bakery.
Beer Geek Bakery.
Always sponsors us, always brings us treats, except for tonight. She did not bring us treats. But
yeah. I feel like we say that a lot.
Yeah, we do say that a lot.
I feel like maybe she's not a sponsor anymore.
I don't know. I don't know what constitutes a sponsorship. But
I want treats.
You will get treats. You can find her at 1055 downtown Tucson or Arizona.
Basically, the thing is you're going to want to follow Beer Geek on Instagram, Facebook. Find out about the events. Find out where you can find the treats. It's pastries made with craft beer. It's the best thing ever. Check it out.
And then Tanya's.
Tanya's 33.
It's
the best delicious burritos Mexican
in town,
food.
By far the best burritos in town.
God damn, I want some carne asada right now.
If you're going to visit Tucson or if you are in Tucson, go to Tanya's 33. Best burritos by far.
And we're near all the fun tourist traps, so come on down.
Yeah. So it's right there. Give them the address.
614 North Grande Avenue. Just one block north of St. Mary's.
It is amazing, and it is delicious.
And we love it. Go.
Yeah.
And finally, I do want to shout out a couple of fans that took some time out of the day to shoot us emails and messages. Both Rita and Stacy, thank you so much for your kind words of encouragement. We really appreciate it.
Yay.
And if you too would like to, have questions or comments or just tell us to go fuck ourselves, remember it's blockbusternostalgia@gmail.com and we're on Facebook at, Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Do you have a Twitter?
Cool.
Well, we do. It's at 80s Movie Podcast.
Awesome. So we can yell at you on Twitter.
That's right. Yeah, never check it.
No, there is. You will wait 6 months before you get a Twitter response.
Yeah, because I've DM'd so many pictures of my boobs to that account. And
that's right.
Like, never.
And we don't respond to them at all.
I mean, to be fair, I wouldn't.
I mean,
either.
Now, tonight, I'm going to check.
We're going to check it tonight, obviously.
They don't know I'm talking about birds.
The
boobies.
I mean, that won't stop me from masturbating.
Boobies and loons is what you were talking about. So anyway, Prince Akeem gets a job at...
That's Eddie Murphy, by the way. We haven't mentioned that yet.
Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, Prince Akeem.
Because we've covered 5% of this movie.
That's right.
Yeah. They go to Queens. That apartment that we talked about, also full of rats, but they spend the night there. And he's like super happy about it. He's on the balcony. He's like, take on all this life and stuff.
He's like, I love you, New York.
And then somebody's like, go fuck yourself, dude. And he's like, go fuck yourself, too. There's a lot of jokes about him not knowing what go fuck yourself means.
That's right. He gets told that a lot.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
He gets told to go fuck himself a lot, and he tells it back. It's very funny. But then he gets a job at a White Arnold's. No, not White Arnold's.
No,
that's Chappelle's version
of
it.
No, this is
McDowell's.
McDowell's, yeah.
This is McDowell's. He gets a job at McDowell's, and he's like super eager to work there.
Yeah, John Amos, who is his name is McDowell. He has opened up a burger restaurant with a golden M,
exactly like McDonald's. And actually,
no, it's
just
extremely
slightly
very
different.
different.
He makes a point.
Let me do this because go ahead. I'm sorry. I only have this movie memorized. Yeah. So
that's right.
Because McDonald's has the Big Mac.
That's right.
McDowell's has the Big Mick. The Big Mac is made with two buns, it's lettuce, really cheese, special sauce, and there's sesame seeds on the bun. The Big Mick has, you know, two all beef patties, lettuce, cheese, special sauce on a regular bun.
Oh,
no fucking sesame seeds. Because that's bullshit.
It's completely, totally.
Do different. They still have the slice of bread completely unnecessarily in the middle?
Of course they do.
Why would they add more bread to it? I don't understand.
Because it makes it bigger.
It makes it
different.
And also
the meat patties used to be bigger. So.
Yeah, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah. The bread stayed the same.
That's what I tell the girls. The meat patties used to be there. Only I leave out the patties part, and I'm lying.
What a shitty thing if you're a chick to hear.
Yeah, because why is it a patty?
You're just like,
it shouldn't be a patty.
You're like 20 minutes of sex, and then afterwards you're just like, well, you know, I should tell you the meat patties used to be bigger.
Look, I like to.
It means put on your panties and leave, girl.
They say the relationship's supposed to have a little bit of mystery to it, right?
And the beef patties are the mystery.
That's the wrong kind of mystery.
So he gets a job there. He doesn't know how to mop. It's a very good joke where he's like, "You know how to mop?" And he's like, "Yeah, of course." And then he's just pushing the mop pan in the bucket thing around. He's like, "Let's take it out of the bucket because it's just going to confuse you."
But no. Here's the thing, though. Even he takes the mop out of the bucket, but he doesn't wring it first. And every single time,
sloppy.
Yeah, and every time I see that, it drives me crazy. Every single time.
Yeah.
Like, the last 30 years.
You're supposed to mop.
He's a bad mopper.
Oh,
but he's the boss.
We skipped over a huge chunk of this, actually.
Did we?
Yeah, they go to a bar to try to pick up chicks.
That's right. This scene is maybe the best scene in the movie. First of all,
I was Joan of Arc in a former life.
It is a crazy scene of the craziest chicks in Queens at that time. Which is
it's basically a montage of me on first dates.
It is all the Erica's on first dates.
Yeah.
It's all the different personifications
of you.
It is. It really is.
One of you is also Arsenio Hall dressed as you.
Yes. I feel like that's the real.
Because that's what happened. Yeah. That's the only one that it can't.
I'm honestly surprised that there weren't more of just either Eddie Murphy or Arsenio Hall dressed in drag.
Yeah, we just get.
Yeah.
Sorry, we just get.
I'm surprised it wasn't like 10 versions of Arsenio Hall and Eddie Murphy dressed in drag in this scene.
Yeah, because at that point,
was before Nutty Professor.
Yeah, it was before they knew the power, the money that is in them dressing up in crazy drag.
And found out that he could actually ask for the SAG rates for each character.
Yeah. Which is a lot of fucking money.
Yeah. I mean, he's still getting paid.
Yeah, he's still got a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so they go through, and there are also two sets of twins.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
There are two sets of twins. You're right.
Yeah.
And somehow in the first set of twins, they're both named Teresa.
Because they were Teresa.
Well, yeah. They were one. Yes. They were.
This is the first date Teresa and I have been on since we've been separated.
They both say that, so that means that each of them are named Teresa.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's a George Foreman situation.
And the
where
next,
they're all named George.
They're all George. Yeah,
the next set of twins, it's Peaches and, what's the name of the other
and
one?
And they're a rap group.
My name is salt Peaches, and I'm the best. And that's all I remember.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So there are two sets of twins in this club.
Oh, Sugar Beets.
Sugar Beets. There you
fucking
go.
Fucking Sugar Beets.
Peaches and Sugar Beets.
B-E-A-T, and it's a great joke.
That is very good.
Sugar Beets is a good name.
Yeah,
it's a very good.
It's actually like Super Peaches and then Sugar Beets, but she just calls herself Peaches. Not that I've seen this movie a billion fucking times. I told you I love this movie.
It is a really fucking funny scene. And then after that, they're walking home and then
they see the barber.
The barber, who is Eddie Murphy as a barber.
Yeah.
And there, he's like, oh, you got to go to this place where.
It's like, you can't meet nice girls in the bar. You got to go to like a church or
library.
Library.
Or where we're going right now, which is.
Or get into political activism.
That's right.
Like the, you know, with the Black Awareness.
Don't actually do that trying to be
women.
It was
like a Black Awareness. Yeah, that's what it was.
But he's not wrong. He's not wrong. In doing things
no, he's absolutely wrong.
That you enjoy and like, naturally, you'll meet other people. people, and that'll lead to something.
Well, the joke is that he is like, you got to go to this place where
there's...
I'm going to this place, and there's clean women there, and nice
women. The clean
women
is like just weird.
Yeah, and it, yeah, that's true. That, I'm shouldn't sure say clean
it's
women.
It's 1988.
Yeah, I know he means clean and that they don't have STDs, and that's like this weird...
Well, it's 88, so they don't have HIV.
Well, this guy was like probably old enough to like fight, if not World War II, at least in Korea.
Yeah.
So like clean means something very different.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's like yeah, you're not going to get crabs from these.
Sure.
But
yeah.
The great joke in this that Eddie Murphy, because he was one of the writers on this, that they write is it immediately cuts to... a bunch of girls in bikinis.
That's right. Yeah.
And
that's
it's,
right.
It's, they're like a pageant as like the like black awareness pageant.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And then a preacher comes out and preaches about why it's okay for them to be in fucking...
I like mean,
because God made them.
It is really good.
Here's
it's
the
really
thing.
Funny.
If more political activism involved girls in bikinis, I'd be there
everything
more
should have a
I'd
girl
be there
in
more
bikinis
often.
To
that's
you,
all I'm saying.
To teach you a lesson.
That's not how 2018 works anymore. So...
I'm not saying I don't care about political issues. I'm just saying if you had some girls in bikinis.
So then Arsenio Hall as a preacher comes out.
Yeah.
He preaches. Right. And then Eddie Murphy as a singer comes out.
Oh,
he sings. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
It's very good.
Yeah. It is so good. He sings a Whitney Houston song, of course.
And then finally.
The Greatest Love of All.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously.
Then
yeah.
Finally we get Erica, the character in the movie, coming on stage.
Oh,
at her dad's request to plug the restaurant.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All right.
So let's say
I'm
that one more time. That's
mentioning the salad bar.
That's Tanya's 33 on...
Yeah, it really is. It's like, that's
it,
like,
it
hey,
really
man,
is.
Remember,
sorry,
remember
Dad, but that is my entire childhood is, you know...
Mention the salad bar.
Yeah. Be sure to mention.
Mention the restaurant. And when the preacher right. mentions the restaurant, he's super happy.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, her dad does the end run. He goes to the preacher, passes him the note, and the preacher does it while me, dies of embarrassment.
Yeah. Those tortillas, they're fresh, right?
They're handmade fresh daily.
Oh, that's good. Anyways, this movie. yeah, so she goes up, she gives her little speech about actual like activism and stuff. And Eddie Murphy's like,
hey. He falls in love.
Yeah, he's immediately like, hey, this is a girl that has, you know, a brain on her head in her head. Not on her head.
Yeah, no, it's inside.
No,
it's
he falls in love with her skull. Right away, and he's like, that's the girl.
That's
the one
girl.
I want to talk.
And he
talk
gives
to.
Like a
so that's why he gets a job
dollars.
As a janitor.
That's right.
I mean,
at her restaurant.
He's not a janitor. That's just what fast food workers do. They do.
Yeah, he's right. just mopping.
He gets a job at her fast food
he
restaurant.
He learns how to
at
make
her dad's
fries
fast food
and
restaurant.
Stuff
right.
and all that shit.
And then she's a super bitch to him.
I don't think she is.
She is a super bitch.
She's
to him.
Not a bitch to him. What it is that he comes on really strong and really eager, and it's a little.
But he's
off.
Also like a foreigner, so he's
I don't
like,
think it really has.
Hi, any- I am Akeem. I'm here to clean up your trash, and she's like,
"Do you have any trash for me?"
There's no fucking trash here.
And she
that's
just
not how she says it.
No,
she's just
she
like,
does.
The trash
she's
is
like,
empty.
"Look, you fucking piece of shit.
Oh
I'm
my God.
Busy right
Look,
now.
You garbage.
Get
human
your
being.
Immigrant motherfucking ass out of here,
Eric. You're sounding very white right now.
Yeah, well, that's how she sounds in this scene. I'm doing an impression right now.
You are not. That is like not at all. She's just like, I don't have
that's,
trash.
Well, to be fair though, she is in love
with Eric LaSalle.
Daryl yeah. Jenks is he is all Jerry Curl.
That's right, because he is
because he's the
he
heir
is the heir
to
the
Soul Glow
fortune. That's right,
and Soul Glow is fucking delicious.
It is.
It's all Jerry Curl.
It's one of the most memorable things from this movie, even though it's actually
it
not in this movie that much.
Yeah.
There is, again, one of the most memorable jokes that we both mentioned,
mm-hmm.
where his whole family is sitting on the couch and they get up and there's just the grease stains.
Yeah, the yes. Jerry Curl
from the
grease
Soul
stain.
Glow, yeah.
But he is a piece of shit.
Oh, yeah. Well,
of course
yeah.
He is.
Yeah, he is.
Because he's this dick who grew up with money he never had to earn, never had to work for.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but that's exactly what Eddie Murphy is, too.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's a good point.
And yeah,
but Eddie
he's
Murphy
very
though
different.
Longs for.
Well,
a
and
girl
this,
that
I mean,
challenges.
Here's the thing is that it gets down to. Then this is actual. Not, you know, we're going to be serious for half a second here. So the idea that they both. Were born rich and born to luxury, but have chosen different paths and how to deep different people is actually kind of telling of
yeah,
you know,
it's
human
it's
choice.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So he's a piece of shit. Eddie Murphy works really hard. And then he gets hired on to do like catering kind of.
Right. So he actually, well, he specifically because Samuel L. Jackson tries to rob the place.
Oh yeah, we got to talk about Samuel L. Jackson.
I know. I'm like, how are you guys?
The breakout role.
Like, I'm like sitting here thinking they're just completely
not at all the breakout role.
It is his breakout role. I do not care.
He was in a. He was in other movies.
You do not care for Jungle
Due to
Fever.
The Right Thing.
No, no. I don't think he would have gotten Jungle Fever without this movie. That was and before even he that. Has said that. No, it wasn't. Like that wasn't that like 91 or
well,
something.
Well, Do the Right Thing was definitely before this, right?
All right.
We're all gonna check our phones real
all
quick.
I remember, yeah. All I remember either about way, Jungle Fever is that song. She's got Jungle Fever.
And that song was Jungle definitely Fever. Way before.
Okay. Jungle Fever was 1991.
Okay, well, but Do the Right Thing was definitely before this.
I don't think so. I feel like
and also
I feel
Star
like,
Wars.
I thought Spike Lee was like super
first of all,
90s.
Star
not.
Wars
oh,
happened.
No, Do the Right Thing was a year after this.
All right, you're right. See? This was his breakthrough role. Except,
I told you.
Except, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. That was a long time ago.
God, I hate you so much.
Anyway,
every time you mention Star Wars, it
you
just,
die a little on the inside.
I do. I literally die a little on the inside.
And I did that for one of the bad Star Wars, which at this point is most of them.
They're all, yeah. all they're all the bad. Star
We've gotten
Wars.
Into the most of more than
yeah, more than the good.
I will never beg to do a Star Wars episode of your thing.
Star Trek though.
Star Trek. Just the ones
exactly.
that we're
one
never going to talk
let
about
me
again.
Do. Yeah. The best
so
one.
So anyway, Samuel L. Jackson shows up. He's going to rob a fucking burger joint, which is a thing that I feel happens
in Queens
York,
in 1988.
Look,
yeah.
you guys, it's the 80s. It's yeah. fast food, high volume, lots
and
of
And then
cash.
Guess who fucking steps in and kicks some fucking ass?
Well,
Prince Akeem, yes it is he. Not
yeah, yeah.
know
I was
him.
Thinking of the whole fucking movie, by
Were
the way.
You really?
Yeah. I was like, was that the same name as the guy no. in fucking Aladdin?
Aladdin's Prince Ali.
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 Yeah,
yeah
sure.
Prince
I was
Ali.
Thinking the whole time. But anyway.
Akeem makes me think of Akeem Olajuwon. Yeah. But he it was with an H.
The famous,
anyways,
the famous dentist,
the famous basketball player and two-time NBA champion and Hall of Famer and multiple pro NBA All-Star. Anyways,
they stopped the robbery in a badass fucking way.
Oh yes.
Yeah, so earlier we mentioned Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall had a very good stick fight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they're
with
badass.
Staffs. So they know the bow staff like Donatello.
They
stopped and
the robbery.
So he unscrews his mop.
How do they get repaid for stopping the robbery?
Well, John Amos comes up and is like, that's amazing. You guys are coming to my house tonight. I'm going to show you a great time.
I'm having
time.
A huge party.
I'm
going
to have
like,
a huge
yes.
party. Come to my party and work as the waitstaff.
And then they show up and he's like, here's what I need you guys to do.
Park make cars sure, out in the cold.
Make sure that you're handing out champagne bottles to all of my
that's
guests.
Right.
And then it is a very big, big move.
It is. It is. Like my...
It is. It's a bullshit
My parents
move.
Have never, never... done that to any of their employees. Not
yeah, it
once.
Is, it's bullshit.
It's bullshit.
Especially a
you
dude that stops a robbery, you're not even supposed
yeah,
to do that.
That's not
and
a
they
reward.
Did that.
Do they even get paid for those hours? I
not
doubt
at all.
It.
Not even a little bit.
Yeah.
What happens is he proposes to his her dad.
Okay, so Eric LaSalle is who you're talking about.
He doesn't
about.
Even yeah. propose to her dad.
He
just announces.
He just tells her dad, hey, by the way, I'm getting married to your daughter. She said yes. And so John Amos makes a huge scene
and
of
he's
it.
Like, he proposed, and she said yes, and she's like, "I never, that never fucking happened."
She's like,
but
fuck
here's
this
the thing,
motherfucker.
That, no. Here's the thing that makes like every woman just like cringe because there's this one scene, and I can't even remember who he's talking to, if it was Akeem, if it was someone else. Where I think it was Akeem, and he's saying that with women you have to be aggressive. And the way he says it like in such a gross sexual predator kind of way. And he says that immediately before they cut to him just not even asking her to marry him, but just announcing
yeah.
and lying about it because,
yeah, he totally cause
the
lied
dad,
about
cause
it.
The dad's like, yeah, he just told me that he proposed to Lisa that he asked her and she said yes. So it makes you wonder what other yeses did this guy just.
Oh Jesus. Take? We're getting real deep
the
now.
The sex yeses.
Yeah. Like
no,
like,
but I mean, she was kissing him and stuff. They were a thing for sure. They were a thing for sure because
they were a thing for sure. But they weren't.
Also, Erica, why do you got to get all
because
isn't that piece of shit thing
that?
Where
why do you got to do that?
Because it's a piece of shit.
Eddie Murphy gives like $15,000. It's a comedy podcast, and
I feel like he takes credit for it. I know, but like it's like any dude who's like
just. I feel like you're not getting into the spirit of making funny jokes, not taking anything seriously.
Because it's just that one that like just creeps me out. Like that whole scene, it just always creeps me out.
But this follows up into a really good scene where she's sitting on the swing outside and she is like completely she's not there upset. For
it. Yeah.
And he comes out.
And like any two-year-old, when you're upset, you go out to the swing set.
Exactly.
No. I hate it when you do that. It's not that she's not that out
Eric.
There.
Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
What the fuck did I do?
Well, that you dismiss her. Like, oh, she's just pouting out there. It's not so much that. It's just that she doesn't feel like she could just like embarrass him, you know? Because you can't embarrass men. You can't. Never trust a man enough that you can embarrass him. That's just...
I do kind of like...
So she goes outside, right? And then she needs a breather. She needs some time alone. She needs to regroup because you can see in her face like oh, she's not here.
I do kind of live for the moment. Yeah, she should have punched
him in the face. I'm on her side, Erica.
I do live for the moment where you just get a hard no. Like, like in a big crowded restaurant.
Or no,
like,
that's the best.
Here's a story. It's a thing. It has nothing to do with me. But the new Spider-Man game dropped not too long ago.
That's right.
Before the Spider-Man game dropped, there was a
guy. This actually is somewhat relevant to the movie in that the mom.
Oh, no.
The girl that Eddie Murphy is pining after is the mom in the new Spider-Man movie. She's the Vulture's wife. Anyways, go on.
So, in the game, there was the new Spider-Man game is a big deal coming out. This guy went on Twitter and he was like, hey, listen, I know you can't do this for me, but if you can, if I can propose to my girlfriend in your game, I will be forever grateful and you can fit it in as an Easter egg and all that thing. And then they were like, yeah, we'll fit it in. So they put it on this marquee in this movie theater. Whatever her name is, will you marry me?
Uh-huh.
They broke up like a month and a half before that game dropped.
Oh, no.
That is pretty great.
It is a great... it is pretty fucking great. And I live for the awkward no answer.
Yeah.
To a proposal.
Yeah.
Especially big, ridiculous, like Italian restaurant proposals. Yes. Where it's just like, everybody who just came to eat dinner today.
That's right. Or like the stadium.
Why Italian where it's like, restaurant?
It's like the because well, Moonstruck. Moonstruck, exactly. I was thinking the exact same thing. Because she actually does turn him down.
Yeah.
But I would like in the stadiums too, like when it's like 20,000 people in a fucking baseball stadium.
Yeah, and then you're forced to say yes. Say yes. It's the funniest way funnier.
Right? I know. I feel like if the roles were reversed and women proposed to men, if any of my girlfriends, because I have many, if any of my girlfriends.
If any of your many girlfriends.
If any of my many girlfriends. Hi, honey. That gives score all of you.
Hi, honeys. Honeys.
Hi, babes.
How many years have I known you? I've only known you with one girlfriend.
You know, whatever.
Sure.
I mean, one girlfriend is really like 14 girls.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it kind of like that thing where like look, if you gotta see keep one things straight. Like but, cat in an alley, there's like a bunch.
That's probably It's like if you see there's never just one cockroach.
Yeah, exactly. It is anyways, just a sign of things to come.
The point is that if a girl ever so proposed to me in a giant thing like that, I would say no even if I wanted to get married to her.
Will you marry me?
I would be like, no, fuck no. And then we would have a big fight, and I'd be like, no, but it was hilarious. But seriously, I will marry you. Guys would be like
high-fiving you on the way out. Therein lies a gender difference. Because girls are super... You have to say yes.
Yeah, we do feel like we have to say yes. Because
of the implications.
Exactly.
Well, because if not, then a guy will murder you.
Say, exactly.
I do love when they say no. Like a guy says no to a lady, and we're like, all right, we'll go get drunk and sleep with someone random, and you know.
And all the guys are like, fuck yeah, high five.
Yeah.
You know, guy gets rejected. Okay, I'll just murder you.
But as noted sexual offender Louis C.K. said, men are the worst thing that ever happened to women.
And he wouldn't know. Yeah. He wouldn't know.
I've gotten rejected plenty of times, and I've only murdered like three women, so I feel like that's not that's accurate.
That's impressive. I think you're a feminist.
Yeah, that's exactly. Only 30% I'm hashtag with her. Technically, at this point.
You're 70% because
I only murdered three women. So
you're totally a Hillary Clinton feminist in that sense.
Yeah,
because she's trash, and I mean, sorry.
So he has a great moment with her on the swing set.
Yeah.
Where he's a legitimate guy and he's like telling her, like,
well, he actually has a lot of good scenes with her.
He does. He wants to know about her, and that's the whole thing. And it comes at a perfect time.
Yeah.
Where there's a fucking dude and her dad trying to make her future.
Yeah.
The moment that she's very, very angry at her boyfriend for being a total asshole.
This guy comes in and he's just like, hey, listen, like, I want to know about you.
Yeah.
And stuff. So then.
And not in a fedora way.
I'm not trying to get with you.
Not in a real.
And
legitimately, it is not in a I want to hook up with you way.
Yeah.
But he does want to hook up with her. And he doesn't even want to hook up with her.
His whole thing is he wants somebody who will pique his interest. That's right. Yes.
So. They're going to go buy groceries and they're going to cook together.
Which is like cutest thing ever.
It is very, very cute. And then they show up and Arsenio Hall has turned their super slummy rat infested apartment
into
a very cool fucking place.
He's sitting in a giant jacuzzi in their living room watching TV, which keep in mind, this is 1988. So
a jacuzzi watching a big tube
and
television.
And they're on the fifth floor of a walk-up because there's technically an elevator.
So I don't even know how you get a jacuzzi in there.
And he did this in one day.
That's right.
Yeah. So then Eddie Murphy...
Because I think he just quit his job at that point.
Probably.
Because they never show him at work again.
He's like, fuck this shit.
Yeah. Eddie Murphy takes all their spending money that they have left.
He gives it to a homeless guy.
And he's like, hey, listen, my place is really shitty. Let's go.
Not just any homeless guy.
He
gives it to the fucking Duke brothers.
Yeah.
From Trading Places.
Randolph and Mortimer Duke. Fuck yeah.
Cinematic Universe.
I know, right? This is cinematic universe.
They even have their theme song.
The song plays, their actual character names play, and they reference each other by name.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they lost all the money in the last movie.
Of course.
So this is technically a sequel to Trading Places.
Yeah. This is a actual sequel. This is Trading Places
Part 2.
Just based
on that scene.
And of course, this was all leading up to Trading Places Part 3, which I still hope happens.
Oh, for sure.
The rise of the Duke brothers.
Literally, they're dead. The revenge of the Duke brothers.
They're both dead. So
it's fine.
Zombie Duke brothers.
Look, Disney has CGI technology.
I would watch the hell out of that one, and I don't like horror or zombies.
Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd are both still alive, so.
So we can do it.
Yeah.
So then,
neither
one of them have been in a good movie for 15 years, so
perfect.
It's about time.
Yeah. So Dan Aykroyd was so hot in that movie, by the way.
Emma agreed with you.
Yeah.
I don't know if you listened to that episode, but yeah.
No, I refuse to listen to that one. And
it hurts too much.
It does. That one in Star Trek 4.
Dan Aykroyd. Yeah.
I mean, Dan Aykroyd had a run. Dr. Detroit.
We've already covered. Yeah.
He's in shape.
So, anyway, Eddie Murphy wins her over in this walk. He gives the money away.
Yeah.
He's getting... He's being
very sweet to her. They go to a museum.
He's doing a thing that goes a long way.
Fucking her very hard.
No. Having other people...
Fuck her very hard.
having other people make you a big deal. So the fact that the guy at the basketball game.
It's a St. John's game.
There's a guy that makes a big deal about him, and it's kind of a joke. But that plants a seed.
He's a food vendor.
He gives the money away to the homeless people. Which is super awesome.
Actually,
he's like, I give away.
Especially because as far as she knows, he's poor.
Yeah, and then they came back and they thank him. It is other people. Boosting you up without you boosting yourself up, that shit goes a long fucking way.
That's why I always pay homeless people to boost me up.
That is the night that she falls in love with him.
That vendor is the only reason why I can't completely write off Zamunda and even King Joffrey is because
he's very happy to see him.
He is very happy to see him.
Well, but that's part and parcel with the whole dictatorship is
maybe not when you leave, but in America.
Very often in those situations, it's like with like a lot of the dictatorships like Kim Jong-il and stuff, there are people who have the like shrines to that motherfucker.
Because you have to.
No, like people that like that's just so much what they grow up with.
Or
in the same way that Christians grow up and they're just like no, Jesus, you know?
I'm gonna go Princess Di on this.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Because I don't think Princess Di did anything except cheat on her husband that she knew she was supposed to be.
Hey, she's dead and she's a goddamn saint, you piece of shit.
Yeah, because really,
I don't know. I'd give no
she
shits.
Committed to the throne, and that's it was right. bullshit. And we all knew that it was bullshit. But right. at the same time, it wasn't like she was very graceful about it, as we that she was.
I guess my whole point, my own point, and I think your point as well, is that when you get indoctrinated into a certain way of thinking,
yeah, exactly,
you're just going to go along with it. So I don't think.
But he left the country. He emigrated.
Yeah, he left, but. That doesn't mean that 30 years of him worshiping a person as a god doesn't leave some mark.
But anyway, okay, so my point is that a magical thing that happens is other people build him up.
That's right.
Yeah, they do.
Other people build him up, and he's supposed to be poor, and that goes a long fucking way. So she is in love with him at that point.
Yes, I guess.
And also, he dances with her, yes. which we talked about, which it goes yeah. a long it's, fucking yeah. way.
So let me just say this, gentlemen. And I do mean gentlemen, not just men, but be a gentleman.
Dance
with women.
If uh-huh. a song comes on, yeah. dance with women.
If it's like romantic and the mood is right, dance with her, you fuckers.
And then like, at the same time as a romantic dancing is happening, mm-hmm. Arsenio Hall is like, I need $1 million.
That's right.
Yes. yes.
There is also a bit I want to mention real quick with Arsenio Hall is that he hooks up with the sister. Who gave a hand job to Eddie Murphy earlier?
Tried to give a hand job.
No, she definitely does. And
I think she just grabbed it.
Look, there was
because he stood up right away. To I guess cheer he was
like, "No, are you cleaning it?" Because I'm used to you cleaning it.
That's true. I mean, I guess that depends on what.
He didn't even
defile
himself.
No, exactly.
That
is lower.
Well, we don't know that for sure because he stands up and leaves to the bathroom, so he may have had some cleanup duty to do. So here's the thing. What do you mean by is, I guess? So is a hand job just, you know, a few strokes or is a hand job 30 minutes? I guess that's up to you to decide.
But I think to completion definitely, is a hand job.
So tweet us so your philosophy does that on
mean,
hand
job. Does that mean that you don't, like, if I have sex with a girl but I don't come, is that not sex?
No, it's definitely sex.
But hand jobs are different, though. I feel like if 20 minutes into a hand job, I'm like, hey,
20 minutes.
Nothing is going to happen.
Who has that kind of time?
Yeah, exactly. Here's my thing. If 20 minutes into a hand job, I'm like, hey, I know you're trying really hard, but it's not going to happen. Not technically a hand job.
See, I think if there was 20 minutes of hand on dick, that's a hand job, son.
Yeah, that's a hand job. It's on you if you couldn't like make anything of it. Yeah, that's
so
your
that's
fault.
Why I'm saying
because that's a pretty
that's why I'm saying in like a year from now when she's like, oh, so my sister's the queen. Oh, by the way, you remember when I gave your husband a hand job at the basketball game?
She definitely gave him a hand job. That wasn't a hand job.
That was like his mushing.
It was more like she, just kind
she
of
smushed
like
it.
Here. Look, I'm gonna. I'm like.
She's demonstrating
imagine that
on
I'm
pillows.
Yeah, because I was gonna grab.
So
and then I
for
what I was
for an audio so like, so audio like, podcast, this is
like
a very
thighs,
good
right?
thing. Yeah.
yeah. So like she just kind of like reached because there's a
it's,
like
it's
a
the, it's the upper thigh she, grab.
Yeah, it's like the upper thigh, and she's like trying to work her way up the thigh, so she's looking for the dick.
Yeah.
And then I'm pretty sure
it
she
might
found
be on the other
it.
Side. But
yeah,
no,
like she's trying to figure
it.
Out what side she
that's
dresses
That's not the point.
On.
The point is
she definitely found it because he stands
yeah.
up. Because
yeah. he stands up like, yeah.
If she didn't find it, he wouldn't have stood
is like,
up. That,
yeah. This is not what I came here for.
Yeah, yeah. So no then, one goes to a St. John's game for hand jobs.
Arsenio Hall goes and asks for $200,000 and the girl...
$300,000.
And the girl's like, want to ask for $500,000? He's like, you think I should? And she's like, when I ask for $1 million?
No,
he's like,
yo, you're getting it all wrong. She asks if that's enough. Yeah. And he's like, oh, maybe
right.
like $400,000?
Either way.
And she's like, are you
the
sure?
The whole thing is that fucking James Earl Jones
shows up.
Shows yeah. up.
They still laying petals. They fly all the petal girls down.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. They fly
the queen,
Oha,
him,
the rose bearers.
Yeah.
All the petals down.
They fly Aeolion and her lady-in-waiting.
You know all of their fucking names, which is great.
When I love a movie.
Also, I do love that James Earl Jones walks into the barber shop.
That's right.
He even puts on his lion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's got a whole lion. And yeah. He's like,
with topaz eyes.
And then one Jewish Eddie Murphy.
Jewish white Eddie Murphy.
Jewish white Eddie Murphy.
Feels up the lion.
And he's like, what is that? What is it? Velvet?
Like, what is that? Velvet?
Velvet? Yeah, exactly.
He's like, yeah, it's great. And like, and so King Joffrey just looks at him like,
They go up to his room where the fucking
right, landlord because at this point, now. The landlord has switched out with them because Eddie Murphy wanted, again, a very common poor room.
Yes.
So the landlord living it up in the spa and is like, I don't know, he fucking works at the fucking McDonald's or whatever the hell.
Yeah, and then they go to their actual room. Arsenio Hall opens the door and he's like, ah! Yeah. And he closed the door and then he opens it back up and he's like, Your Highness.
You know, he's not even proud, King Joffrey, of the fact that Akeem was Employee of the Month.
Not even a little.
No, not at all. He's just...
He was Employee of the Month, though.
Well, because he's very upset.
He gets upset that he worked.
He worked, yeah. Right. That's not what royalty is supposed to do.
He works. And then I love... One of my favorite fucking jokes in this movie is where he tells Arsenio, like, you will be punished. You are going to the suite.
No. You will restrict yourself to the royal suite at the Waldorf Astoria, dress yourself properly, and you, and he points to like the
to
most
the three
gorgeous,
sexiest
well, he points,
girls.
He assigns him to one in particular, yeah. And you will bathe him
and
thoroughly.
Dress him properly.
Yeah.
But weirdly, the bathing comes afterwards, and the vehemence with which he says thoroughly. Yeah. Like and
our senior hall's like thank you.
And
then
there's a whole bunch of back and forth with Amos and the dad.
He finds out that he's a prince.
That's right.
Because we get
Amos
a little bit of a romp
all
there.
About it.
Oh yeah.
But wait, even though he's already told what's his name to come and like court her.
That's right.
But what's the soul glow fortune
compared to a person being on a fucking money?
He is, yeah. And then that's the thing is he show the money
so
and Akeem is on the fucking money.
Yeah, why is that kingdom so rich? Why is that kingdom so rich? Are we saying diamonds? Are we saying is it diamonds? Is it oil? Is it vibranium?
Is it cattle? Bovine? Is it bovine?
It's definitely not cattle.
I don't think it's cattle. I think it's. I don't know. I think it's blood diamonds. I think it's because of the French.
Is it gold?
There. It might be gold.
Or oil.
Or oil.
Because they're very Egyptian dressed. So it could be Northern Africa.
I think it's Northern Africa. I think it's oil. I think it's gold. And I think it's all of those things that clearly drove the French. There, because the military uniforms are
yeah,
very
oh no,
French.
They're definitely
and the yeah. footmen that drive the carriage at the end, they're wearing fucking powdered wigs. This whole I'm telling you, this whole kingdom of Zamunda is basically a French creation.
Oh yeah,
it is
no Wakanda at all. And you kind of wonder.
There's no vibranium in this fucking place.
No,
no, I think this is like either this.
There's
is
no
like,
very bad CGI either.
No, all the animals were real.
No, Martin Freeman.
Yeah, he was missed. But yes, the animals were real. At the end of the day, Eddie Murphy, the girl, what was her name again?
Which one?
The main girl.
Lisa. Her sister's Patrice.
Yeah, okay. So...
Lisa finds out that he's a prince.
James
Earl Jones says that...
Tells her, like, he was just here to sow his wild
he's
oats.
He's just here to get it in.
He's got a wife.
That's right.
Not just his wild oats, his royal oats.
His royal wild oats. So he's got a wife. So she gets super upset and leaves.
That's right.
And Eddie Murphy, like any girl would do.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Eddie tracks her down and is like, no, I love you. And she's like, I can't.
It's in the subway.
It's too much.
And then it's like that lady's like, what do you think? And she's like,
go on, honey.
Yeah, go on, honey. It's super weird.
Because New York, they're all in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And doesn't work out for Eddie Murphy at that point.
No, and he's very sad and he decides, all right, I'll just go back and marry the obedient, hops on one legs and barks like a dog lady.
Yeah, so it's this huge, extravagant wedding again. The castle looks like it's a small world after all to me.
It's a moderate
crazy,
set.
Yeah, ridiculous set.
Well, at least it's not the Epcot Center.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Disney proper.
It is a weird ending to do it the way they did.
Right, so...
Yeah,
It's super weird. This person in a dress that looks like it could fit.
You were like, look at that fucking dress.
It looks like it could fit a naval ship.
Explain the dress to us, Erica.
The dress is this gigantic pink confection that appears to have. It's huge. It has panniers. Okay, it's not even like a hoop skirt. It's based like
this
I
is
said,
like
this is Versailles in Africa.
This is you know have you, if you've ever seen the par- like the Chinese parades where there's like 30 people in the dragon. That's what this dress is.
Yeah, there's 30 people.
This
holding
is 30
up that
people
dress.
In this fucking dress
with an overlay of a saran wrap too. Like there's just spangles and
it's
glitter
crazy.
And. And it's just so over the top that it just like, she can't even walk because it's just like swaying back it's and awful. Forth. And it is just
80s. She gets to the altar.
And then she picks up her veil. Turns out.
It's Lisa.
It's not the other girl. Guess who's banging that other girl?
Picking up them scraps.
Yeah. Which you know what? As many times as I've seen this movie, I never realized that was her until you guys told me.
Yeah, that's the girl.
Because like her hair's different. Arsenio Hall's picking up. She's smiling. I kind of feel like maybe Arsenio Hall learned a lesson.
I feel like she learned a lesson,
and she learned a lesson too. So like they both grew.
Good for them.
Yeah, happy ending.
But it is a weird ending because we go from like, oh no, this is what you have to do, and then jump ahead, and then like, just kidding.
Yeah.
I totally paid for her to come, and she totally surprised you.
Yeah.
Even though she was totally against it, I don't know. It's a weird.
I feel like there's a ending. Scene missing. I feel like there should have been a scene of some kind of reconciliation, at least.
Yes.
As friends.
Yes, because the last scene before that was her being like, "You lied to me this whole time.
Yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah.
Because you lied to me. Done. And then for her to show up in Africa.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a scene missing. You're right.
There's definitely a scene missing. And it kind of ruins her character because
it
then,
does ruin her character.
Because then at the end, when he's like, "I'll still give this all up for you," she's like, "Nah." And it's supposed to be funny.
Yeah. Right. It is funny.
And it would have been funnier if they would have had that scene to bridge. Well,
you're right.
Because
the, no, fuck you, fuck your diamonds.
The scene missing is the scene of everyone in the audience being like, "Wait, he's the richest motherfucker ever. Marry him, you dumb fuck."
Well, no.
Like,
well, that's what the subway
real,
people
the
said.
The real scene missing is he gives it all up, and then she said, it's the Arthur thing.
Right.
He gives it all up, and then she's like, "I love you anyway." And then they're like, "Never mind, you can still have the fortune." But it is, I do feel like her concerns about him lying to her are legitimate.
Yes.
And
carry
it's funny how $1 billion will kind of alleviate those concerns.
And that's the problem. That is the thing. That's a problem is that she's like, "Just kidding, I want to be rich." And that's the problem with the ending.
Yeah, that's
yeah, maybe.
Really for all like the
So then
how do we fix it?
How do we fix this movie?
Well, that's how we fix it is we have that bridge, that missing scene that we put it in where they're like, "You know, you lied to me and stuff. I get why you did it. I care about you a lot, but right now I just can't pursue a relationship with you." I mean, there's like a lot going on.
Okay,
that's how we legitimately fix two people. I feel like you don't understand the point of this.
How do we joke legitimately?
Oh, okay. The real way we fix this is that Aeolian dumps King Joffrey and then marries John Amos.
See, Amos
bangs,
is definitely banging the queen.
Banging the queen, yeah.
The look that they give each other at the end of the movie.
That's a banging look.
Yeah, but I want them to be like to love openly.
No.
You know, here's what I think is that he totally bangs her.
Yes.
And then it's a whole thing where he has to fight the king.
Oh,
fighting the king is not fighting a king. It's fighting the king's like wards and shit.
No, I know. I disagree because if we learned anything from Black Panther is that fighting the king is legitimately fighting the king to become the new king.
So then we have two 65-year-old black
men. That's right.
Fighting each other to the death.
Yes.
Yes.
Chucking dentures at each other.
Exactly. There's change everywhere. There's just pennies and quarters everywhere.
Well, I feel like then what happens next? So John Amos obviously
bunch of
wins.
Werther's just flung at each other.
John Amos obviously wins because that has to happen.
Because
right?
He worked hard to get where he was.
Yeah. And so then.
Fucking
but then the next
thing to do is just banging a penis cleaner.
Right, yeah. But then the next scene
James
is.
You might as well fuck a Roomba.
The next.
James Earl Jones is just fucking Roombas.
Yeah, that's
James Earl Jones is fucking Roombas. Amos is fighting dudes.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then the next scene is that Eddie Murphy, both as the old Jewish man and as the barber, shows up, and now they want a challenge for the crown. It's hysterical. Like
there's a lot of talking about old timey baseball players and boxers.
It's like 30 minutes of them explaining why they're going to win the fight by referencing old stuff that nobody cares about anymore.
So exactly like hanging out with George R. R.
Martin. Burn on you. Back to the beginning. Yeah. I love that circular nature.
I don't know if we're going to get better than this.
I don't know either.
Atta girl.
Yeah. Atta girl.
So, all right. That's how we would fix this movie.
I guess.
That's the only fine. Way to make it already.
Next week.
This episode's very long. Next week, we're going to be covering on Golden Pond?
No, what? An Officer and a Gentleman. We already covered on Golden Pond.
Oh, that's right.
I was going to say, did you already do that?
An Officer and a Gentleman. We're going to cover An Officer and a Gentleman next week. So please tune in next week.
Hey, Erica. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me and letting me yell at you.
Always super fun.
Yeah, it is.
Good times had by all.
Yes.
Until then, I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landi.
I'm Erica Lita.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you. Was that good?
I don't know.
Yeah.
No, that was good on your part. Was that good on my part?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I was excellent.
You were. And then you sound super sexy.
You always do that on the podcast. Yeah. It's really funny.
You sound super sexy on the podcast.
You're always like,
hello. I've had several people tell me like,
oh God,
that you sound super sexy.
Like as soon as the microphones come on, it's just, hello.
Hi. I'd like to seduce you into listening to this podcast a lot.
It goes a long way.
Okay. Well, now I'm all self-conscious. I'm like a dark
now. Let's get back to the podcast.
I'm going to drink booze.
Yeah, exactly.
Think about dicks.